RadioMD.
RadioMD.com.
Your eyes are the window to your health. Time to learn more with Dr. Robert Abel Jr., the Wizard of Eyes.
Cholesterol, vitamin D, and how they affect your vision. Yes, how can cholesterol and vitamin D affect your visual health and make a change in your life? It seems strange for an eye doctor to be the one discussing this, but sometimes it takes the wizard to figure these things out, and I feel it's my obligation to share it with people. Eye health is intimately related to our nutrition. Reviewing, the eye is a bag of water with two lenses, a crystalline lens and the lens in the cornea. Both are clear. Both focus light from the outside world through the fluids to the retina. And all of our nutrition for those eyes comes from the liver, so it's remote. So what you do and what you eat is going to determine how you see, besides how you feel and how you even think. Returning to how we see, the retina is a highly metabolic neural network. If you take a thermal image of a hibernating bear, a polar bear for instance, the two hot spots on its body are its macula in the center of the retina and the nose where oxygen is coming in. So we know the retina needs a lot of nutrition. We do not know exactly where vitamin D, for instance, works in the eye. But we do know that there are at least four studies that have demonstrated that a normal vitamin D level between 30 and 100 will protect against macular degeneration approximately 50%. So we do know that vitamin D affects the macula and has a positive effect. You're probably aware of many positive items about D, because D is not only a vitamin, it's a hormone. And as a hormone, it is an immune supporter. For instance, children that have a normal vitamin D level in two Journal of Pediatric articles have the same immunity against influenza A that keeps changing every year as do people who get the vaccination. For instance, I don't get vaccinations except for typhoid and yellow fever and going to exotic places, but I don't get flu vaccinations because my D level has finally gotten to be normal. We know D is good for bones, but you may not know that it grows your telomeres, the edges of your chromosomes. If you grow your chromosomes, you have fewer mutations. D also suppresses two cancer-inducing genes, so it's definitely helpful in breast cancer and others. Vitamin D overall decreases death from all of the major 15 causes. Well, we can't say homicide, so we'll say 14 of the 15 leading causes of death. D, in my experience and in my friends, improves sleep. Improves it to the point that even if you don't get your full 6 hours, you still feel good in the morning. So there's something really hormonal and total involved with D. But where does D come from? Well, it takes the UVB portion of sunlight, striking the cholesterol in the skin, and creating cholecalciferol. And cholecalciferol is vitamin D3. So we have UV irradiation of a dihydrocholesterol, that's your cholesterol, and turning it into D3, which has all of these therapeutic values. So cholesterol serves as the main structure not only of hormones and vitamin D, but cell membranes and many other things in the body. In the 1950s, Ansel Keys came out with a list of countries with high fat diets and higher death rates. He ignored the countries that had high cholesterol and high fat diets that had longevity. So we made a whole industry out of cholesterol and lowering it. So we've sort of overdone it as to what the number is and what the benefit is and whether it really supports heart health and artery health, etc. There's certainly other ways to do it. In a chemical reaction, if you don't have enough of an end product, you start producing more precursor. For instance, if you don't have much thyroid hormone, you have hypothyroidism, your TSH, your thyroid stimulating hormone, will increase, trying to produce more. Well, in the cholesterol D3 story, if you don't have enough D3, you'll start making more cholesterol. Interestingly enough, if you give D3, bring up the level of your D3 level, you may notice the cholesterol drops. I've had numerous patients taking 5 to 10,000 IU of vitamin D3 to get their level up and watching their cholesterol drop, one of whom went from 280 to 200. So there obviously is a chemical reaction here that is very effective and very useful for all of us to know. Why don't more doctors talk about D3? Well, they are, especially since there's a test for it. And the scare was that 40, 50 years ago in medical school, you're told that D3 can be toxic, that Eskimos and Inuits that ate polar bear and seal liver got high levels of D3 and got mental aberration. Well, we don't get nearly that, because most of us do not get enough sunlight. So the sources of D are going to be sunlight and supplementation. We starve for light in order to see, but our eyes and our skin are also very vulnerable. UVA and UVB creates floaters, yellowing of the conjunctiva, higher risk of cataracts, and macular degeneration. So we need to get the D without the side effects, which means we need to supplement. A number of doctors, when people are behind, will give you a 50,000 unit D2. D2 is not quite as effective, but it is a way to bring up the D level. But D3 is important. If you're low, I start at 5,000. It's fat soluble, so you need to take it with some food with fat in it. We know there's a blood test, and we know that it's possible that you can actually measure it and know yourself and follow how you feel. When you do something new, mark it on your calendar. It's very important, because then you know how to attribute what you've done as a change to some benefit. Habits are hard to break. A supplement is easy to take, especially if you are able to document and to know and get knowledgeable information about these things. Calcium is not what is good for your bones. In fact, high levels of calcium are affecting atherosclerosis. The articles are starting to come out. It is the D3 that is important for your bones and have all of those other beneficial health items. So the moral of the story is that you want to take the D3, and there are other things that are excellent for bones as well. K, vitamin K, boron, magnesium, and of course some calcium, but the calcium you're going to get in your green leafy vegetables. So being a medical detective and realizing the best way to get D is to supplement, not taking 400 or 600 IU a day, but taking at least 2,000 a day if you're normal and you can actually follow it. Also, to realize that milk is fortified with D. It doesn't come with D. Cows don't make vitamin D very much. And if they do, it's certainly not enough. Dairy is also a major issue for all of us. And it's a mucus former, etc. So taking vitamin D, regulating your cholesterol, is just another one of many nutritional items that can be helpful. Taking a multivitamin, as well as omega-3 fatty acids, are rounding out what is important for your health. So the moral of the story is, be ready for good vitamins.